Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Church say amen again.
Amen.
One more time for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Won't you all stand to your feet with me and let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalm 27. Psalm 27. And there in that text, once you say amen, we've located the text. There in that text, you will find these words. I'm not going to read all 14 verses. Well, actually, I will read all 14 verses. I think it sets the context for the sermon and the particular verses that we're going to speak out from this text about the sermon. So starting in verse number 1, the Bible reads, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above mine enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify God's people. I would that you pray with me on the title of this sermon today, The Meaning of Resilience. The Meaning of Resilience. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that your word will not return void, but that it may accomplish that which you intended for it to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged. Help someone to know trouble doesn't last always.
Right.
May minds be illuminated. Teach us something we did not know when we came into this sanctuary. And ultimately, God, may souls be convicted, I pray. May someone yield and submit to your everlasting grace. And so have your way in this place, O God. Holy Spirit, may you continue to move in this place. Reverberate off walls, penetrate hearts. Bring someone, draw someone into thine presence, O God. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. In the name of Jesus our Christ, we do pray that all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, 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 and amen. Over the next several Sundays between now and September, the Lord has laid on my heart to preach a series of sermons about this word resilience. This word resilience. It is a word that is often used in psychological terms with regards to tragedy and trauma. And now, given the nation's traumatic experience with gun violence over these last several weeks, one can look in Aurora, Colorado, and see the tragedy of lives taken simply because they wanted to go see an opening movie. You can look into another part of the country where folk who simply were going to worship were shot down in their temple. Tragedy and trauma is often around us. Some of it, none of it ever makes sense. And yet some of it is by natural disaster. Some of it is by man-made forces. Some of it is trauma and tragedy we bring on ourselves. And other parts is trauma and tragedy that others inflict upon us. And yet all of us have to figure out how to live with tragedy and trauma. And part of living with tragedy and trauma is your ability, your quotient to rebound from that tragedy and from that trauma. A very scientific or academic definition of resilience is this that I want to show you on the screen: the ability to regain shape after distortion and or deformation. So when an object has been distorted, or when an object has been defamed or distorted or drawn out of its original shape, that is usually what scientists call stress. And so an object that is at rest, or an object in a natural state, is not undergoing stress or trauma. But when you stretch it, when you break it, when you drop it, when you bend it, when you do whatever you do that takes it out of its original shape, when you distort it or make it deformed in any way, then it is undergoing stress. And the object's ability to regain its original shape is what scientists call resilience. And so we need to keep that in mind, because many of us, when we are in natural states of rest and our being, we are able to praise God. And yet it is often when we are bent out of shape, when we are distorted out of shape, when something has come into our lives that has distorted or taken us out of our original state of homeostasis, then what is our ability to regain the shape, regain the attitude, regain the mentality that you had before your distortion? Are you all a little quiet? I know it's the middle of the summer, but I need you all just to warm up a little bit with me in the name of Jesus. Because I know I'm not the only one that have experienced distortion or deformation as I've gone throughout my life. All of us sitting in this auditorium have had experiences that have distorted our original shape. We were able to praise God, and yet in the midst of our distortion, our ability to praise Him is challenged. And yet that is the very time that I need us to be able to praise Him. When you are distorted, when you are bent, when you are dropped, and when you are broken. Come on, somebody. And yet the original reality, an interesting reality is, we tend to do the opposite. We do praise God. We do seek God when we are distorted, when we are bent, when we are bent out of shape, when we are stretched beyond our normal capacity. But it is when we regain our shape, many of us forget that it was the God of heaven and earth that gave you the ability to come back into your original shape. And so on both sides of that question, whether you praise Him when things are going right or whether you only praise Him when things are going wrong, the statement is you need to praise Him at all times. For David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, whether I'm bent out of shape or whether I'm in shape, whether I've been dropped or whether I've been broken, whether I'm intact or whether folk are with me, whether folk are not, I will bless the Lord. My circumstances will not define my praise. My praise will define my circumstances. Come on, someone. And that's what I need a Christian to understand. That is the very point of these sermons about resilience. Because I need us, my favorite definition of resilience is this one, the ability to bounce back from a setback. Because all of us have had setbacks in our lives. All of us have experienced trauma. Can you imagine your loved one, your teenage son, your spouse, your neighbor say, I'm going to go see the opening night of this particular movie and they never come home again? Can you imagine what that will do to you and your family? They've been shot to death in a movie theater, or they've been shot and they are paralyzed, or they've been shot and they are still on life support. That will bend you out of shape. That will distort your reality. That will bend your very understanding of the God of heaven. God, how could you have allowed this to happen? And even though a different worship tradition than ours, I cannot imagine going to the house of worship only to have someone burst into the house of worship and to open fire while worship is going on. The trauma, the tragedy of it all. And yet, we, the nation, we, the world, catastrophe, man-made, natural, you in your lives, unemployment, you employed one day, told you're going to be unemployed the next week. This is your last week of employment, or your house is in foreclosure, or your bills are, or something is being repossessed, or you are undergoing cancer. They found a spot, women, on your breast, or men, you have undergone a PSA count and it's too high, and they've told you might have prostate cancer. Any of those things will distort your reality. What is our ability to bounce back from setbacks? And I believe that as a Christian, you and I must master the art and the science of being resilient. You and I must master the art and the science of bouncing back from your setbacks. If you haven't been through a setback, keep living. You're going to have a setback sooner or later. I'm not a negative. I'm not a pessimist. I'm not bent overly negative or again, you know, believe that adverse situations are always around us. But I do not believe that you can go throughout this world and not have some trials and tribulations. Jesus said it himself, in this world, you shall have trials and tribulations. But what? Be of good cheer, for I have already overcome the world. So you and I must determine what will be our response to trauma, to tragedy, to all of the negative challenges that may come in our lives. What is our response when mom and dad have passed and or dad have passed on? What is our response spoken met with the Lane family, the Daniels family, the Smith family on last week as they were preparing for Gloria Smith's homegoing service? And many of them, if not all of them, said, we did not know how bad the situation was. Gloria was a strong woman. She didn't let anyone know just at the point or just how deep her illness was. And so this tragedy, her death, has been an issue in which they are wrestling with. And unless you sat in the seat of bereavement, you don't really understand what it means to wrestle with death when it has been unexpected. Come on, somebody. And yet, whether it is death or whether it is any of the other adverse situations of life, or like what I like to call the vicissitudes of life, the ups and downs of life, one moment you're up, the next moment you're down, one moment you're in, the next moment you're out, one moment you have, the next moment you don't have, one moment you're with them, the next moment you're not with them, one moment they're with you, the next moment they're not with you. Life has a way of throwing curveballs at you and I. And yet, as a Christian, what is our ability to bounce back from setbacks? I need everyone to think for a moment, what has been my setback here recently? What have I been wrestling with here recently? What valley have I walked through? Am I walking through right here recently? What mountain am I hanging on by the thread of my skin here recently? What bridge am I trying to cross? What river am I trying to cross right now here recently? What problem am I dealing with? What demonic attack is coming upon me? What issue am I bearing? What burden am I carrying? What challenge am I lifting? Right, what are you dealing with right now? Because I am convinced all of us are dealing with something. And what is our ability to deal with it and to bounce back from a setback? And I believe a setback is really only a setup for a breakthrough. And so we have to determine how we see the issue has everything to do with how we get through the issue and what's on the other side waiting for us. Because I believe that out of every adverse situation, out of every test, there's a testimony waiting. Out of every problem, there's a prayer report ready to be told. And so I just need someone to understand it's normally darkest right before the breaking of the sun. If you just hold on in the middle of your valley, if you just hold on the rough side of your mountain, if you just hold on when you are on the trying to cross that river, I believe that God will open up an oasis sooner rather than later, and you're going to be better for it on the other side, because you don't understand it now, but you'll understand it better by and by. And so the ability to bounce back from a setback is what I'm going to be speaking about. That is inherent in this definition of the word resilience. So Psalm 27 is a great text that talks to us about setbacks and about resilience. And I want to talk to us out of using these three words today. I want to talk about the word rehearse. I want to talk about the word resist. And I want to talk about finally the word resilient or resilience. What does it mean to rehearse? Well, if you look in verse number 1 of Psalm 27, the Lord is my light, the psalm writer says, we believe David said this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This particular verse is one that I believe you and I must rehearse. Because you and I must continue to remind ourselves that the Lord is my light and my salvation. You and I must continue to say to ourselves, precisely when you are in the mount on the rough side of your mountain, precisely when you are in the depth of your valley, precisely when you are trying to cross your river, remind yourself, rehearse this thing in your spirit. Lord, you are my light and my salvation. Lord, you are the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Because when you're looking demons in the face, you got to know that the Lord is your strength and your salvation. When you're facing down demons that are trying to rob you of your joy, you need to remind yourself that the Lord is the light, is my light and my salvation. When you are in your dark places, listen now, when you are in your dark places and you cannot see your way through, rehearse it in your spirit. In point of fact, rehearse it when you are in the light, so that when you get in the darkness, you already understand what you need to say. Lord, you are my light in the midst of darkness. Come on, somebody. Don't wait until you get into the problem to call on God. Call on him right now. When you have light, Lord, you are my light. Lord, you are my strength. Lord, you are my health. Lord, you are my way maker. Lord, you are my burden bearer. Lord, you are my healer. Lord, you are my shepherd. Lord, you are my strength. Lord, you are my mountain mover, my heavy load bearer.
bearer. You carry my burdens. Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh. Lord, you are Jehovah Nisi. You fight my battles. Rehearse that thing in your spirit so that when you get into your rough places, you know what to call. You know what to say. David is no stranger to adverse circumstances. David, who was anointed king before he took the throne, had to run and flee for his life because Saul was jealous of David. A song that we hear in the scriptures say that Saul slew thousands, but David slew hundreds of thousands. Saul got jealous. Saul tried to kill David. But David, while he was on the run, what did he say? The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Even though my enemies are all around me. So you've got to rehearse statements from scripture to remind yourself of who you are and what God can do in your circumstances. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I be afraid? Fear is one of the biggest things the devil uses to distort Christians from doing what God has called them to do. Fear. And yet God told us, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but I've given you a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. Don't let them get you afraid. Don't let them see you sweat. Don't let them distort your spirit. Don't let them rob you of your joy. Remind yourself who you are. Remind yourself of who your God is. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? And so after you've rehearsed it and got it deep down in your spirit, then you need to resist. And this word resist is interesting. It's not formally stated in here. But I want you to note in verse 2 and 3, the things that come against the psalm writer. Look what it says in verse number 2. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me. Verse number 3, the bottom. Though war may rise against me. Go down to verse number 10. When my father and my mother forsake me. Come on, I can go through statement after statement, but the psalm writer is speaking not of what he's heard, but out of what he's experienced. Enemies have encamped against him. Mother and father have left him. The wicked have came up against him. Come on, somebody. War has risen against him. And he's not the only one. Somebody has had wicked folk come up against him in this sanctuary. Some of you have been at battle and war has risen up against you. For others of you, mom and dad have left you either through death or in some cases through abandonment. And yet in all of this, you've got to resist what the enemy, what these challenges, what this trauma is trying to do against you. Because when enemies come up against you, they want to destroy you. But you need to resist the enemies that come up against you. When mother and father leave you or forsake you, there are two ways of looking at verse number 10. One is abandonment, when they forsake me, when they give me up, when they leave me, when they depart from me. Another one is, another way of looking at this is through death, when my mother has crossed over, my father has crossed over. How am I going to deal with mama no longer being here? How am I going to deal with daddy no longer being here? How am I going to be when my sister is no longer with me? How am I going to be when my brother is no longer here to give me cheer and give me encouragement? How am I going to be when I'm by myself? I need you to remind yourself, resist the temptation to think negatively and go back to what you've rehearsed. The Lord is the strength of my life and He is my salvation. The psalm writer states the negative, but he ends in the positive. Look at what he says again in verse number 2. Put that screen back on the screen. Verse number 2. When the wicked came up against me to eat up my flesh, it goes on to say, and my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. And so it begins with a negative, but it ends in a positive. They came up against me, but they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Go back to verse number 10. When my mother and my father forsake me, it ends in a positive. Then the Lord will step down and He will take care of me. So what the devil meant for evil, God can turn that thing around and use it for your good. You think you're in the valley, but if you keep on holding on, you'll be on the top of the mountain. You think you're going through some challenge, but if you just hold on sooner rather than later, God is going to bring you out of that thing. God is going to deliver you from that thing. God is going to rescue you from that thing. And your enemies will scratch their heads and ask the question, how did you get out of that? And that's when you can say, my God is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? I know you tried to kill me, devil, but God is going to get the glory out of this thing. It started off negative, but it ends positive. And that's why I need some folk to understand what resilience is. It starts off negative, but the resilient person always ends in the positive. Your ability to bounce back, your ability to regain shape after distortion, your ability to praise God even in the midst of adversity. Come on, somebody. That's what being resilient is. And let me tell you something, a little secret that the devil doesn't want known. The devil does not know how to deal with a resilient Christian. Because when he's thrown everything at you in the kitchen sink and you still keep on praising him, you still keep on getting up, you still keep on coming to church, you still keep on giving him the praise, I don't know what to do with you. The devil doesn't want to see you coming. The ones that can praise your way through a storm. The one that still keep giving God the praise, even though your enemies are all around you. How many of you are praising your way through a storm right now? The devil doesn't know how to handle you. The devil doesn't know what to do with you. You were supposed to be dead and gone. You were supposed to give up long time ago. But I'm still yet holding on. I'm still yet holding on. Your ability to resist is what you and I must cultivate. Resist the temptation to give up. Resist the temptation to give in. Resist the temptation to capitulate. Resist the temptation to surrender. Resist the temptation to walk away. Resist the temptation. James chapter 4, verse number 7 says this. Put this up on the screen. It says, submit to God, right? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. A lot of us leave off the first part of it and we just say resist the devil, he'll flee. But you can't resist the devil until you've submitted to God. It doesn't work. Your arms, how many of you saw that play several years ago? Your arms are too short to box with God? Yeah, your arms too short to box with the devil too sometimes. But when you're using God's hands to box with the devil, your hands will always be long enough. You're not getting the message, are you? You can fight the devil only after you've submitted to God. If you don't submit to God, you're no match for the devil. But when you submit to God, the devil cannot mess with you. He'll try, but he won't be successful. Rehearse, resist. And then the last statement is this word resilient. Now I want to go to verse number 13. You have the ability. Say that with me. I have the ability to bounce back from my setbacks. Say it again. I have the ability to bounce back from my setbacks. One more time. I have the ability to bounce back from my setbacks through the power of the Holy Ghost, through my submission to my God. I have the ability to bounce back from my setback. Verse number 13, put 13 up there. It says, I would have lost heart. I would have given up. David says, I would have thrown in the towel. I would have lost the war. I would have lost the battle had I not done this. Believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You got to believe that God is able to do exceedingly. You've got to believe that God can pick you up and turn you. You've got to believe that God can open up doors. You've got to believe that God can be a bridge over trouble. You've got to believe. You've got to believe. You've got to believe that God can do everything but fail. There's nothing too hard for God. You've got to believe it. Why do you call yourself a Christian if you do not believe in the miracle working power of the God of the universe? You've got to believe. David says, I would have lost heart. You would have been successful, devil, had I not believed that the God I serve is in the land of the living. I would have lost heart if I did not believe in the goodness of the Lord, in the power of the Lord. How many of you know the Lord is good? How many of you know the Lord is great? How many of you know the Lord is better than good? How many of you know the Lord is awesome? How many of you know the Lord is wonderful? How many of you know the Lord is amazing? I would have lost heart had I not believed in the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. That means right now in the midst of my stuff, where I'm living right now, that God is able. He's able. I believe that there's nothing I can go through in my life that God cannot work out for my benefit and his glory. I don't care how big it is. I don't care how many of them there are. I believe what my God can do. And how do I know? Because he's done it for me before. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. I've been delivered. I've been rescued. I've been brought out. I've been lifted up. I've been redeemed. You have to remember what he brought you through. Remember what he crossed you over. Remember what he brought you out of. And if he did it once, he can do it again. Put verse number 14 up there. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. When are you going to get out? I don't know, but keep on waiting. When is he going to make a way? I don't know, but keep on waiting. When is he going to give you another job? I don't know, but keep on waiting. When is he going to heal your body? I don't know, but keep on waiting. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And the beautiful thing about waiting is that you're not waiting without a purpose. You're waiting with hope. You're waiting with belief. And that's why at the middle of this psalm, right? Psalm 27, around verse number 4 and 5, David says, one thing I have desired, right? That I may dwell in your presence. And when David goes on to speak these things, he is giving air to his statement about waiting. If you look in your scripture, Psalm 27, verse number 4. One thing I've desired, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. He doesn't always take you out of your situation, but he'll step into your situation. He'll give you a rock to stand on. So your enemies are still around you. But while you're standing on the rock, you can look over the heads of your enemies and know that God puts you up a little bit higher. Wait, I say, on the Lord. For in the time of trouble, he'll hide you. He'll shield you. He'll make a way out of no way for you. And I know this sounds like a lot of religious talk, but I'm here to tell you, it is real. It is real. It is real. And so when you have the ability to, when you are rehearsing your scriptures, putting them deep inside of your heart, before you get into the time of trouble, and you're able to recall the goodness of the Lord and remind yourself that he is your light and your salvation, that he is your strength, of whom shall you be afraid, that in the time of trouble you won't be afraid. And then David concludes by saying, wait, I say, on the Lord. And while you're waiting, he'll hide you. While you're waiting, he'll shield you. I know it's hard now, but maybe it was worse if you did not know that God has shielded you. And so in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. He'll set me up on a rock where I can look over my enemies. And that's while I'm in my trouble. But guess what? When I get out of my trouble, that's when I'm going to praise him. When I get out of my trouble, that's when I'm going to magnify him even more. But in my trouble, he hides me. While I wait, he shields me. But through it all, I've learned how to praise him. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. And through it all, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. That very familiar song that we used to sing, the saints used to sing of old. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I I've learned to depend on His Word through it all. Through it all. And so I leave today with this statement to you about being resilient. I can, I will, and I must bounce back from my setbacks and my distortion. I can be resilient because of my submission to God. And so as you're going through, remember David. Remember what David says in Psalm number 27. Let the church say amen today. Amen. Let the church say amen. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. Everyone standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess, I invite you, ministers, I invite you to go out into the pews and help me to extend an invitation to Christian discipleship. Whomever you are, wherever you are, whatever you've been through, whatever you're going through, whatever you're about to go through, I want to invite someone to stop, pause, and reflect on the Lord. Submit to Him. And through your submission, you can resist the devil. In the name of Jesus. God bless you, Sister Chanel. You all go ahead and take her down and have a word of prayer with her. Sister Chanel is a member of our church already, and we want to just lift up a word of prayer over her in the name of Jesus. Is there anyone else today who seeks to come forward? I want to extend two invitations. Number one, if you don't know the Lord and have a relationship with God, then I want you to come and give us your hand and give God your heart. I'm not talking about membership in a church. I'm talking about relationship with God. Before you have a membership, you ought to have a relationship. And so if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, I want to offer that to you today in the name of Jesus. Secondly, if you do know Him already, know Jesus, have that relationship, but for some reason you're not in a church, I want to invite you to membership with us here at Shiloh Baptist Church. And so if either of those two invitations apply to you, I want to extend them to you. Some of you have been visiting. Some of you are visiting perhaps for the first time. Let the Lord speak to you. Let the Lord have His way in your life. Whoever you are, wherever you are, I extend this hand to you. The choir is going to sing, and as they sing, these invitations are extended. Go ahead and sing, choir.